This is Bhagavad Gita as it is, 7th chapter, text 25. Naham prakasha sarvasya yoga maya samavrataha buddho yam na vijanati mam evya logo mam ajamavyayam. Okay, we've got all the cell phones taken care of. Na, nor,
no,
aham,
I,
prakashaha, manifest, sarvasya, to everyone, yoga maya, by internal potency, samavritaha, covered. Mudha, foolish. Ayam, these. Na, not.
Abhijanati,
can understand.
Lokaha,
persons.
Mam,
me.
Ajam,
unborn.
Avyayam,
inexhaustible. It's over?
Yeah, it's off.
Okay. I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them I am covered by my internal potency, and therefore they do not know that I am unborn and infallible. Purport. It may be argued that since Krishna was visible to everyone when he was present on this earth, then how can it be said that he is not manifest to everyone? But actually, he was not manifest to everyone. When Krishna was present, there were only a few people who could understand him to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the assembly of Kurus, when Shishupal spoke against Krishna's being elected president of the assembly, Bhishma supported him and proclaimed him to be the Supreme God. Similarly, the Pandavas and a few others knew that he was the Supreme, but not everyone. He was not revealed to the non-devotees and the common man. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that but for his pure devotees, all men consider him to be like themselves. He was manifest only to his devotees as the reservoir of all pleasure. But to others, to unintelligent non-devotees, he was covered by his internal potency. Om Ajanatmirantasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Shakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Tathati Shapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jata Pada Kamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Shagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Pradijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute
tapta kam shana gaurangi radhe vrindavaneshwari vrishabhanu sute devi pranamami hari priye vansha kopatru vyascha kupasindho vyae vrata patitanam bhavane vyo vaishnavirvyo namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudeva Guru Bhaktavinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Naham Prakasha Sarvasya Yoga Maya Samabhutaha Budho Yam Na Bijana Ti Mame Dya Loko Mam Ajamabhinyo Budho means asses. Those who are simply working hard like asses to satisfy their senses, to meet the needs of the body, but who have no life of devotion and service, can hardly understand Krishna. Naham prakasha sarvasya. I'm not manifest to anyone and everyone. Sarvasya means everyone. Elsewhere in the Bhagavad Gita, Manusyanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhaye yatatam api siddhana kaschin mambeti katputa. Out of thousands of men, hardly one can attain perfection. And out of those who've attained perfection, hardly one can understand me. Perfection means coming to the spiritual platform, self-realization, realization of the Atma. But even out of so many self-realized souls, hardly anyone can understand Krishna, because Krishna protects himself with the yogamaya potency. Just like some big businessman or big politician, not that anyone can walk in and see him. Suppose you want to see some very big man. It's not that you just decide, I think I'd like to meet him. He has his secretaries, maybe his bodyguards also, if he's a government man. And they'll screen very carefully. Yes, why have you come? Who are you? And they'll make it very plain that unless the man wants to see you, you're not going to get to see him. Krishna is also like that. He's not manifest to everyone. Even when he's manifest, he's not manifest. When Krishna was present on earth 5,000 years ago, he was manifest, but not everyone could see him. They could see, but they couldn't see. One has to see by understanding Krishna as he is, or one has to see by eyes of devotional service. Otherwise, one won't see. One won't see. If the Queen of England were sitting amongst us, we wouldn't know. She just looks like another lady. But one has to know that by being informed that this is the queen, that this is her position. One has to see by eyes of knowledge. Vashanti Gyana Chakshusha. Not simply with the eyeballs. in the temple, Krishna is there for everyone to see. But not everyone will see. Some people will walk in and say, oh, they're worshiping a statue. But the devotee, who knows the science, will see, here's Krishna. Bhumirapo nalo vayu kammano buddhirevita. The material elements are Krishna's energy. So if he's manifest in a form made of the material elements, then why can't he be present there? Non-devotees will argue that no, Krishna is not there in the temple. Krishna, God is everywhere. Everywhere except the temple. Because they don't have tattva vigyan, scientific knowledge. They can't see. A person who has knowledge, say an engineer, he'll look out over some territory and he'll see, oh, there must be oil here, or there must be gold here, because of his knowledge in geology. He can understand that in such and such kind of formation, most likely there's oil or most likely there's gold. But a person without any training won't see anything. They're both seeing the same seeing, but one is seeing and the other is not seeing. In so many ways, things are like that. One who has knowledge can see. Oh, the devotees, pure devotees, have knowledge of Krishna. Loko maam ajam avyayam. They know. Ajopi san avyayatma. They know that he's unborn, that he's not subject to birth like an ordinary human being. Janma karma cha me divyam. And he's not subject to dwindling like an ordinary human being. Avyayam means he's inexhaustible. We get exhausted by material circumstances. Our energy runs out. But Krishna is inexhaustible. Avyaya. So the devotees can understand, but the materialists, because they're not devotees, will not understand. Atapite deva padambujam dvaya prasada leshana grihite vihi prasada leshana grihite vihi janati tatvam bhagavan mahim no. What is that? Chiran chinman. One can understand Krishna only by devotional service. Atya mam abhijanati. Not by any amount of speculation or by any material qualifications. In the prayers of Kunti and the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that the Lord is covered by the curtain of Yoga Maya, Maya Javani Kachandam, and thus ordinary people cannot understand him. This Yoga Maya curtain is also confirmed in the Ishopanishad, in which the devotee prays, Hiranmayena Patrena. Satyasya pihitam mukam tatvam bhushana pavanu satya dharmaya drishtaye. O my Lord, you are the maintainer of the entire universe, and devotional service to you is the highest religious principle. Therefore, I pray that you will also maintain me. your transcendental form is covered by the Yogamaya. The Brahmajyoti is the covering of the internal potency. May you kindly remove this glowing effulgence that impedes my seeing your Satchidananda Vigraha, your eternal form of bliss and knowledge. The Supreme Personality of Godhead in his transcendental form of bliss and knowledge is covered by the internal potency of the Brahmajyoti, and the less intelligent and personless cannot see the Supreme on this account. So the impersonalists are also counted here amongst the muddhas, amongst the dullards, the fools. They're covered by the internal potency in the form of the Brahmajyoti. They want to see the light of the Absolute, but actually that light is like the headlights of a car. When the bright lights are shining in your eyes, you can't see anything. So they're blinded by the Brahmajyoti, the impersonal glare of the Absolute. And therefore they can't approach Krishna. In the Brahma Sangita, Pantastu koti satavatsara sambhagamyo vayor tapi manaso munipungavana so pyasti yatprapadasimya vichincha tatve govindamari purusham tamahanguja. One can go on speculating and speculating for millions of years. One can travel at mental speed, but still never reach the tip of the toe of Govinda. The impersonalists are unfortunate because they, instead of cultivating a devotional mentality, they aspire to become one with God, or to assert their own oneness with God. Therefore, they can't understand Krishna. They think that Krishna is some manifestation of some material principle, or that the Absolute becomes qualified by material elements, and Krishna appears. They don't understand Krishna to be the Personality of Godhead, personality, absolute supreme personality. They're simply not able to understand it. Their material vision. Bhaktya mam avijanati yavanyas chasmi tatvada. Only by devotional service can one actually understand Krishna. Also in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's this prayer by Brahma. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, O Super Soul. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, O Super Soul, O Master of All Mystery, who can calculate your potency and pastimes in this world? You are always expanding your internal potency, and therefore no one can understand you. Learned scientists and learned scholars can examine the atomic constitution of the material world, or even the planets, but still they are unable to calculate your energy and potency, although you are present before them. Supreme Personality of Godhead is not only unborn, but also avyaya, inexhaustible. His eternal form is bliss and knowledge, and his energies are all inexhaustible. Well, this is Krishna. Krishna is understood by the devotees. Yaya tamam prapajante, tams tataiva bhajamyaham. As one approaches Krishna with devotion, then Krishna reveals himself. Otherwise, one goes on speculating and goes on in one's own way, and one doesn't understand Krishna. Vedaham samatitani vartamanani charjana bhavishyani chaputani mam tu vedana kashchana. Krishna says, I understand everything about all the living beings, but mam tu vedana kashchana, hardly anyone can understand me. People imagine that they understand Krishna. Yes, Krishna is one of the Hindu gods. Or people imagine in some other way that they've understood Krishna. Yes, Krishna is the something, some idea they have. But they can't actually understand Krishna. The Duryodhana, Bhishma Dev could understand. The Pandavas could understand. Duryodhana couldn't understand. He thought Krishna's an ordinary human being. Maybe he can show some tricks. But he's... That's all. He couldn't understand Krishna. He wanted to arrest Krishna. And Krishna approached as the messenger of the Pandavas. Then Duryodhana wanted to arrest Krishna. Mudho yamna bhijanati. He couldn't understand Krishna because he didn't have the qualification of being a devotee. So the purpose of our Krishna consciousness movement is to become qualified as devotees of Krishna so that we can understand something of Krishna. Of course, no one can understand Krishna fully, but we want to understand or appreciate Krishna as far as possible. Chaktva deham punarjanma naiti mahant. One who understands Krishna becomes freed from birth and death, and he becomes eligible to go back home, back to Godhead, which is the real business of human life. Human life is not simply none. Can we turn off the AC, please? By devotional service, Krishna will be understood, and not by other means. And without understanding Krishna, we'll not understand ourselves. Because every living being is part of Krishna. Mami vamsa jiva loke, jiva bhuta sanatana. Everyone is part of Krishna. Without understanding Krishna, how can we understand ourselves? So, understanding of Krishna has been made very easy in this age. We don't need to be great artists, great philosophers, great poets. If we can simply chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna
Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare,
and avoid 10 offenses in chanting the holy name, then we can understand Krishna as far as possible. All right, are there some questions?
The scripture says, at the point of death, the consciousness created by the living being will carry him to the next body.
Yes.
So at the point of death. Now, day in and day out, we are constantly thinking, creating many things. Mm. So, why is it that only at the point of death, the consciousness created by the living being will carry him to the next body? Not the previous.
Just like in school, you're always doing something, but everything's finally tested at the exam. You're attending classes, you're studying, you're doing homework. But finally there's the exam. Then it seems, what has this man understood? So the death is the final exam. Everything's tested at the time of death.
Like common understanding, like Bhishma Pitama, as in the purport Srila Prabhupada is mentioning, and also we understand he's a great Mahajan, mentioned among the Prabhupada. And he's well versed with all the bodies of knowledge. And then he taking the side of the Kauravas, not the Pandavas, that is the side of irreligion, and not taking the side of religion, though knowing everything, that's pretty confusing for many of us. Could you just explain what is this reason that he's taken the side of irreligion?
Because he was being maintained by Duryodhana and company. So he had some duty there. He had some duty to the throne of Hastinapur. So he considered. And my duty is here.
Yeah.
Although actually he was on the side of the Pandavas. He was accused many times by Duryodhana. And you favor the Pandavas. And actually it was a fact. Vidur, Bhishma Dev, were favoring the Pandavas because Pandavas were pure devotees and Duryodhana was a rascal. But officially he had to take the side of the Kauravas. Or as a matter of apparent duty, he had to take that side. It was Krishna's desire also. It was Krishna's desire. Krishna wants to fight. So sometimes there have to be great warriors on the opposing side. And finally, Krishna wanted to exchange with him in the fighting mood. So it was Krishna's desire, just like a king keeps a wrestler to fight with. So sometimes Krishna wants to fight. So with whom will he fight? It requires a devotee. Is that okay?
Maharajas, Pandavas was very pure devotee of the Lord Sri Krishna. But after they die, what happened to that soul?
Happened to what?
Their soul. Whether they were.
They went back to Godhead.
Godhead.
Something else?
Please, Maharaj, the Bhagavad Gita has explained that God can be realized in three ways, by the Bhagavan realization, the Super Soul realization, and the Brahma realization. In your speech, you mentioned that the impersonalists, they are fools. The impersonalists,
yes.
They are fools.
Fools, yes.
Can you explain a little further? what myth?
Anyone who doesn't understand Krishna. Maya pratigyana asura bhavamashrita. If you were intelligent, he'd surrender to Krishna. Krishna says, Mamekam sharanam braja. Surrender to me. Aham tvam sarvapapebhyo mokshishyami. I'll give you liberation. So if they don't surrender to Krishna, they must by definition be fools. Namam duskrita namuta prabhyante. Krishna calls, says they're fools. So, despite having great education, being very erudite, being very qualified academically, we look at what they're doing. They're refusing to surrender to Krishna. Therefore, they must be fools. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
Something else? Yes?
Right, when we go out for preaching, we ask them not to worship any other demigods. Are we offending those demigods by no. saying that?
It's not their... They like it. When they're devotees, so when Krishna's worshipped, Jagat Prahishyat Janarajyate Cha, they become joyful. Why are you offended?
Narayindra got angry.
Yeah, Indra became offended by Krishna's arrangement. Although he's a devotee, he became a little puffed up.
We worship Vishnu. We should worship only Vishnu. But here we are worshipping Lord Krishna and Lord Rama. And like there are more avatars of Vishnu. Why we are not worshipping all? Why only these two?
No, we're worshipping Lord Nrisimhadev. He's Vishnu. All Dharayan. All Vishnu. Forms. Kurma, Natsya. Braha. Vishnu forms. But Krishna is the original. Krishna Swayam Samabhava Paramam Bhumam. Out of all so many forms of Vishnu, Krishna is the original form. So we're giving special attention to Krishna. But otherwise... Yes?
But I have a... the name... The Vaishnava. Why is it not Krishna or Krishna?
Well, that also can be given.
Yeah. Because
Krishnites.
Huh?
Krishna.
I feel personally. Because it should be the Krishna. You know, because when we are...
That's all right.
And one more thing, Maharaji. Like, I have this personally. This is my doubt. Like, there are the two Rukmini and Radhaji. And the Vishnu, we have only one, Mahalakshmi, that's Goddess Lakshmi. So I want to know from your mouth, like, who is Mahalakshmi in this Krishna's period? The Rukmini or Radhaji? Because in local this, if we...
Rukmini is in Dwarka only.
Yeah.
Not in Vrindavan.
Yeah, but the... Who's the like avatar of Mahalakshmi? Because I have this doubt.
No, actually,
yeah.
Mahalakshmi is the avatar.
Mm-hmm.
Because Krishna is the original.
Uh-huh.
Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam. He's the original personality of Godhead. And Narayan is his extension.
Yeah.
So originally Krishna is there, and with Krishna, Srimati Radharani. So the Mahalakshmi Krishna expands as Narayan. Radharani expands as Mahalakshmi.
Radharani is Lakshmiji. You
mean
to say that?
Mahalakshmi is the expansion of Radharani.
Okay, that's why she is overall.
She's called Sarva Lakshmi.
Uh-huh.
All the Lakshmis are expanded from Srimati Radharani.
So why Lord Krishna is not given a, like, as a... Pad of wife, because because this is in our society, this is a little confusing, because if you go to the other ladies, like I devotee to Lord Krishna, but this is my personal doubt, so that's why I want to clear.
What is that doubt?
A doubt is like, in the social society, Radha ji is known as only like a Radhika Shakti or as a friend of Lord Krishna.
Yes.
Yeah, but she was his wife. But
correct.
She is given more importance in the society.
For those who want to see husband and wife, then Krishna gets married. But then when he gets married, it's not just one wife. He marries 16,108 wives. So you want to see married life, all right. Krishna will marry 16,000 wives. But Vrindavan is not for that. In Vrindavan, Parakiya Ras. Parakiya Ras means that there's Krishna oversteps the boundaries of acceptable social behavior. These boundaries are Krishna's laws only, and the maker of the law can overstep them. And for him, for that, there's no blame. The ordinary person has to follow the law, but the king can do no wrong. He can follow or not follow as he likes. So the in married life, the attachment is there between husband and wife, but when there's this relationship, not married, then the intensity of love is still greater. The intensity of love is, when there's risk involved, when there's overstepping of social boundaries for the sake of love, the love is greater. Mahalakshmi, the Rukmini, they're the wives of the Lord, and everything is proper. They're great servants of the Lord. But when Krishna appears as a cowherd boy in his informal pastimes, then the love becomes still greater. Okay. Sarvadharman Pratyaja. Amikam Shadam Bhaja. Srimati Radharani and the gopis are setting the perfect example. Ramya Kashchita Pasana Bhajabhu. Something else? He didn't recommend it. They're bending the story. It's not that Lord Jesus Christ came to earth to endorse fish. You know, the way some doctor or some sports person endorses the fish is good for you. They get paid for that. So it's not that Lord Jesus Christ came to earth with that mission, to get people to eat fish. the story was that he was preaching and he was out in the desert. And all these people came out to hear him, to get his darshan. So they were all out in the desert. And there's no food. They didn't consider eating, not eating, they just went. So then the news was brought to Jesus Christ that these people are all there, thousands of people, but there's no food for them. And then he said, look, see if you can find something. So they looked, and in the whole gathering, they could only find five loaves of bread and five fish. So Jesus said, all right, distribute that. And they distributed, and with those five loaves of bread and five fish, they fed all the thousands of people. So we don't mind if with five fish you can feed 5,000 people, then it's all right. Then it's all right. First of all, it's called apadharma. Apadharma means in an emergency, things are different. Just like there's the law is you have to drive on one particular side of the road, either right or left, depending on the country. But in a time of emergency, you drive on any damn side of the road. Because it's an emergency. But the next day, if you drive on any which side, then you get fined. In an emergency, you can do extraordinary things. One time, the Shishtamuni, the same thing, he had no food. Somehow he ate dog meat. But he didn't lose his status because it was apadharma. It was an emergency. In an emergency, what's considered accepted is different. So it was an emergency. Thousands of people are there and there's no food. So in an emergency you can eat, then you eat anything. But what is the emergency now? Emergency is, the tongue is declared an emergency, that's all. I want fish. That's the only, otherwise there's enough fruit, grains, yes. Vegetables, milk products. There's a sufficient supply of everything. Where's the emergency? And apart from that, five fish he fed everyone. And what moral do they derive from that? What message? That Jesus Christ has come to bless our tuna fish factory. See how foolish they are. Jesus Christ said, thou shalt not kill.
Just now, as you said, the time that Jesus Christ was preaching. So what he was preaching that time?
Krishna consciousness. Yeah. Same thing, love my father. And Krishna says, Aham Bija Pradapita. I'm the father of all living beings.
So did he was saying something to chant that time? For
may not have specifically recommended chanting, but recommended devotional service, surrender. Give up your sinful activities and surrender. Something else? Right. Yes.
Please, Balaram doesn't do anything.
He doesn't do anything?
Anything against Krishna's wish. Balaram. And Krishna does not do anything against Balaram's wish. But in Mahabharata, we saw that Balaram was on the side of the Kauravas, that is Duryodhana, and Krishna was on the side of the Pandavas.
Yes.
Why was that?
Everyone's an individual. Balaram favored Duryodhana. Duryodhana was his student in club fighting. So he had some favor from Balaram. And Krishna, of course, favored the Pandavas. Well, that's Krishna's taste. Sometimes brothers will argue also. That's a kind of enjoyment. When Krishna disfigured Rukmini also, the brother of Rukmini, and Balaram was rebuking Krishna, this is not very good. He's our relative now, and you're making him so odd looking. This is not the way to do things. So sometimes there's disagreement also. Even though God is one, sometimes he disagrees with himself. That's his pastime. Something else? Yes.
My question is about the Vaishnava diet.
Vaishnava what?
Diet. Which forbids garlic. But in most cases, as we say, we know that Indians, they take this garlic.
Who takes this garlic?
Indians.
Yes. Indians take so many things. It's not that Indian means perfect. Indians, even the majority of Indians are not vegetarian.
No.
What to speak of garlic? Majority of Indians are not vegetarians. So, to be Indian, Krishna never says, you just be Indian and then you can understand me. Just become Indian. One becomes a devotee of Krishna. Something else? All right. Last question. Everybody what?
Everybody dies.
Everyone dies.
In this case, when we die like that, go, do we see each other?
I can't hear. I couldn't hear.
Do we see each other when we die?
After death,
do we see each other?
Do we see Ishra?
Your friends, your mother, your father, do you see them?
At death, do you see your mother? What, when you leave the body, how are they your mother and father?
You see them.
When you leave the body, then how are they your mother and father?
No matter what you want to say, that
if mother, father, brother, that's all in relationship to this body.
Okay.
So when you've given up your body, then where's the relationship, father, mother? Is that okay?
But Maharaj, if there is no relationship after that, why is in the spiritual world there are different relationships?
If there's no what? That was the last question anyway, but what? I didn't hear the question.
Okay. My question is that in the spiritual world we have relationship, we have five major relationships for the living entities and the Supreme God. And he's asking that our relationship here, after death, all of us have died. Do we have that relationship? And he said that it's only on the bodily platform. And I'm asking, what about the relationship, the higher relationship with the Supreme God?
That's eternal. But this relationship in terms of the body is temporary. So our attachment should be at the time of death, not, I hope I get to see my mother, I hope I get to see my father. We want to see Krishna. All right, just stop here. Thank you all very much. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.